Hare Krishna, let me welcome all of you affectionately. We will start. It's of course a very great moment for me to be here in my father's house in the Krishna Balaram temple and to be able to speak on the Bhagavatam. It is very, very exciting in some ways. So I'm very happy to be here amongst you. Thank you for coming. Let us just sing Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Jai Radha Madhava, Kunya Vihaji, Indeya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Ji, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varada Ji. Rajarenu Nanada Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chaji, Jamuna Tiravana Chaji, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Hare
Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Hare
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Shri Radhe Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Raja Uvacha Brahman Veditam Icchama Svasaram Ramakrishnayoh Yatopayeme Vijayo Yamamasit Pitamahi. Viraja-vacha Brahman veditam icchama Svasaram Rama Krishna Yoho Yato Payena Vijaya Yamamasit Pitamahi Yes, please, someone. Yadavacha Brahman Veditam Icchama Tasaram Rama Krishna Yoho Vaima Vijayo Yamamasit Vyam. Thank you. One Vaishnavi, if possible. Niranavacha Raman Venitam Icchama Sasaram Rama Krishna Yoho Yatopaye Me Vidyayo Yamamasipi Shri Raja Uvacha. The great King Parikshit said, Brahman, O Brahmana, Shukadev goes, Veditam, to know, Ichamaha, Vivish, Svasaram, the sister, Ramakrishna Yoho, of Balaram and Krishna. Yata, how? Upayeme, married. Vijayaha, Arjuna. Ya, she who? Mama, my. Asir, was. Pitamahi, the grandmother. King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balaram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj turns now to the topic of the marriage of Lord Krishna's sister, Subhadra. How were they related, Parikshit, to Subhadra? You didn't listen. Grandmother, yes, yes, yes. Prabhus, Madhajis, wake up, sleeping souls, no? I will ask you many such questions. Some will be quite pointed, so better listen. In the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami, King Parikshit's question here follows from the previous narration. Because Arjuna's winning the hand of Subhadra was just as difficult a feat as Lord Krishna's retrieving the sons of Devaki from the realm of the dead, since Lord Balaram himself opposed Subhadra's marriage to Arjuna. So, very difficult marriage. Balaram, source of all strength, was against it. In the end, Arjuna married Subhadra, but only because of the help of Krishna. Without that, impossible, impossible. He would be devastated. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paskatyane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the outset of this class, I would once again express my gratitude to our Pancha Goda Prabhu, Dhammatma, and so on, that they have kindly invited me or kindly agreed that I could deliver this class. It's a great honor for me to sit here in this temple, which I very often visit in my thoughts and in my aspirations. I very often go in my mind through the front gate, it was still open, then offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada in his samadhi, and then I go down the steps. I have to actually count how many. One, two, three steps. And then up the other steps, I have to count tomorrow, today also, how many they are. And then go before, offer my obeisances once again to Prabhupada and to the three deities. So now I'm sitting here in the flesh, in the body. It is very exciting, and if I don't do a good job, forgive me, but I am very excited, very happy inside. My dear devotees, let us make a step back and learn about the different perspectives in which we can approach the text of the Bhagavatam or any subject. That the lion perspective, the pigeon or parrot's perspective, and the eagle perspective. And I will not choose the lion perspective this morning. I will choose the pigeon and the eagle perspective. What are these perspectives? The lion is known to dash forward. He doesn't look left and right. He just looks to the aim he wants to attain. And if it's you, a human being, it's not good for you. If I would choose this perspective, I would now tell you the story of Arjuna's marriage to Subhadra. A fascinating subject. I would go verse by verse, and I would ignore the upcoming speakers, because I would tell you already everything, and that would be impolite, I feel. The pigeon does not just charge without looking left and right. The pigeon has this ability to almost turn his head 360 degrees. Have you seen pigeons? Parrots also. Yes, no, we are asleep, we are bored, Maharaj. Yes, good. So with that perspective, the speaker of the Bhagavatam would have to look at where does this appear in the Bhagavatam, perhaps why it appears. He would have to consider many directions of vision. And the last perspective, the eagle perspective, is he would fly, and from above he would see many things that both the lion and the pigeon perspective cannot give him. He would perhaps see an overarching theme in the Bhagavatam, and he would be able to extract some principles. So today we will try to take this turning around, considering many views, and then we will try to also go high and look at a perspective on the Bhagavatam that will be very instructive, hopefully, for us. Hare Krishna. Are you with me? So what perspective will we not take? Good. Wow. My God. Most attentive. My dear devotees, in some ways, we could say that the narration of the Bhagavatam comes to the end already in chapter 78. This text is from chapter 86. So in some ways, we could say that already 8 chapters before, the Bhagavatam ended. Because in that 8 chapters before, we hear how Krishna moves before the gates of Mathura to kill the last 2 big mega demons from which he wanted to free the earth, Dantavakra and Vidurata. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us what Krishna had been feeling all throughout the preceding chapter, up till chapter 78. He had a deep desire. Can you remember what Krishna was feeling when he was in Dwaraka? He would sometimes be in the night. His cushion would be full with tears. And he would cry in the dream, Shubal, Sridham, oh Radhe. Krishna was in the night thinking, oh, I'm missing so much. What? Vrindavan, yes. Here is the summary. Sri Krishna had been harboring, means keeping, a desire to go to see his friends and relatives in Braj ever since Balaram had gone there. But his mother, father, and other elders in Dwaraka had refused him permission. Why? They thought Already in the dream, Krishna is calling Braj Brand the names of his dear friends and everyone else in Braj. Now, if he comes to Braj, he might not return to Dwaraka. He will like it so much. So Devaki and Vasudev had said, no permission to go to Braj. And what we learn is the culture, the ancient culture, the father is always right and must always be followed. When I was with the taxi driver coming here, he was phoning with someone and there was a very loud voice. And I said, a difficult customer, no? When he was finished, and he said, no, my father. And then I said, sorry. And he said, whatever my father tells me, in the end, I have to do it. There is no way to not doing it. This is Braj culture. So Krishna carried this culture. He could not disobey Devaki and Vasudev, who didn't want to give him permission. Now, however, after the killing of Shalva, when Krishna heard from Narada that Dantavakra had gone to Mathura, no one could object to his going there immediately without first entering Dwaraka. So he had liberated Shalva before the gates of Dwaraka. Then who came to him? Narada Muni. And he said, there is one demon, Dantavakra. He is standing before the gates of Mathura. And he is shouting, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He should face me in battle. Oh, said Krishna, very good. So Mathura was in danger. There was this demon. And of course, no one would object if Krishna would now go to Mathura. And from Mathura, he only needed to cross the Yamuna and he would be where? In Vrindavan, in Braj, exactly. So now, however, after the killing of Shalva, when Krishna heard from Narada that Dantavakra had gone to Mathura, you know, to challenge him, no one could object to his going there. And immediately without first entering Dwaraka. After killing Dantavakra, Krishna would have the opportunity to finally meet his friends and relatives living in Braj. And this completes the circle of the Bhagavatam. Krishna came to Braj, where he enjoyed his favorite time, about which we have been singing one whole month, the Damodar Rastakam. The Damodar Rastakam describes in quite a detail how Krishna enjoyed and how he was throwing the people of Braj into pools of ecstasy with his wonderful gestures, his smiling words, his kind words, and so on. Yes, and this was the best time for Krishna when he stayed here. And all this time he wanted to go, and this was the opportunity. Now Krishna, who had left Raj initially for Mathura and then Dwaraka, full circle, had finished the cycle of his pastimes on this earth, and he had gone to Mathura, and from there he was after killing Dantavakra, he took a rest. Where do you think did he take his rest in Mathura? In the Vishram Ghat, the resting ghat. He had already rested there when he had killed another difficult demon, Kamsa. As he was lying there, he saw someone coming over the Yamuna, a lonely person, a single person, I should say, who was singing, Gopala Raghuvinda, Gopala, hey Gopala, Radha Krishna, Govinda, Gopala, and other such songs. He wanted to take a rest, but his mouth went wide open, his eyes were open, and he could understand this man came from Vrindavan. And he shouted over the Yamuna, where is my village? Yes, he wanted so much to go. And then he told, and the person, the person who was just walking waist deep through the water, could I, is it him? Is it him? Ha ha, Krishna. The only good point, and then Krishna told Daruka, Daruka, quickly bring me to the other side. And he crossed the Yamuna in the chariot of Dwaraka. Then he immediately changed his dress. He didn't want to come to his friends in this foolish dress of a king. He wanted to dress in cowherd garments, chadar, turban, and so on. And he then blew his conch shell, and so you can read all this. It is explained in the Padma Purana. Nanda Gopadaya Sarve Jana Putra Daradi Sohita. It is there, and it is explained in wonderful detail in the Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. So, finished. Krishna has gone to Vrindavan, and from there he took all the bridge passes to Goloka Vrindavan, you know, on his chariot, and in another form, a Vasudev form, he went back to Dwaraka. Finished Bhagavatam. Why is it still going on? After this, what was it, chapter, help me, 78, yes, there's chapter 79, there is chapter 80, and 81, 82, 3, 4, so many chapters. When does it end finally? It ends after quite some time. Why? The book is finished. Because Krishna Katha should never end. Here, in chapter 80, don't worry, it will, little theory, but now we get very practical. This was the pigeon perspective. We looked around. Where are we in the Bhagavatam? Now we come to the eagle perspective. Trying. Parikshit said in chapter 80, my Lord, Shukadev, O Master, I wish to hear more about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose strength is unlimited. And then he asks all of us a question. Listen now to this question and answer this question in your own mind. O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with with endeavors for sense gratification, give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly. In other words, Parikshit says, I have heard now so much Krishna Katha. How can I give it up? How can this stop? How can I stop listening? It is not fair. You are Mahabhagavad. You know about Krishna. Continue, please, to tell me. And then he says that I come alive only by hearing Krishna Katha. Remember, take again the parrot perspective or pigeon perspective. Parikshit is coming to the end of his life. And he said, I don't come along alive by a blood transfusion or some protective security measures. That my death cannot come, that the takshaka, the snake cannot come. I come alive only when I am hearing Krishna Katha. I was thinking, in my childhood, I reread a book by an English author, Shelley. The book was called Frankenstein, and it told about a doctor, Victor, who was desiring to bring a dead body to life. I believe, if I remember correctly, he collected many dead parts from it's not so nice in the temple to talk about. He collected arms, legs, everything, chest. And then he put a wire very high in the sky. And when the next lightning came, it went down into this dead body, which he had somehow sewn together. And then the being came to life, and it was a stormy night, and he wanted to be with its creator and wanted to go into the bed of Victor. I mean, not for any objectionable activities, and have warm and fatherly care, but Victor, the scientist, didn't want to be with this ugly being, and he threw him out, and then he developed a hatred towards Victor, his creator, and mankind. The idea there is, we are brought to life, and in this world, some of us feel abandoned or rejected by God, and then we turn against him and our fellow human beings. And even when we are in the temple, we make politics with devotees and all these things which you can observe. It comes from a feeling of not being loved, of feeling no love in the heart. No? So the idea here in this story, it is that a dead person comes to life by the agent of a lightning, of electricity. Taking this, we have to ask ourselves the question, how do I come alive in my bhakti? How can I have a savatma snapanam, a life-giving bath that enlivens my body, my mind, and also my consciousness? And Shukadev says, it happens when you start to actually speak. It starts when you actually start to think. It starts when you actually start to hear. Then you come alive. It starts when you actually start to bow down. Would you like to hear Shukadev's, no, Parikshit's exact words? If you understand them, you might come to life. It might be a savatma snapanam. And finally, my dear devotees, you will get what you came for, a blissful spiritual life. So you will listen, right? I will ask you afterwards if you have listened. So don't just say yes and then don't do it. Actual speech. Savaktyaya tasya. Actual speech is when we go to the MVT restaurant and talk about what's happening. Oh. Is that correct? Is that in the Bhagavatam? You're not listening. Wake up. Actual speech is that which describes a pizza recipe. Okay, you're starting to get it. Actual speech is that which describes what's happening in ISKCON. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord, how he looks, how he thinks. Real hands are those that work for him. A true mind is that which always remembers him, dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. So this is how the true mind is. It remembers Krishna in everything. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about him. Hare Krishna. An actual head is one. Can you remember from second canto? That bows down, yes, to the Lord in his manifestations amongst the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes, remember second canto, are those that see only the Lord, for instance, on the altar. And actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's feet or those of his devotees. I'm drinking or I'm sprinkling some of the sacred foot wash of the Lord or the devotees over my head. And this is the book. Then we come alive. Otherwise, we are in a dead body. Yesterday, someone asked me to talk about Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, who had such a glorious departure here. And I would relate to you one characteristic statement where he talked about real life. Before his departure, he had gone to Vrindavan and he said, people come to me with a funeral face. Oh, soon you're going to die. But they are lamenting for something that was never alive in the first place, the body. So who should cry for whom? Have you understood? Should I repeat? It's little condensed, so people lament for my body that, oh, you're dying, but this was never alive. It came alive by the presence, somewhat alive by the presence of the soul. So they are living in a terrible mistake. They think the body is the self, and they don't know that the eternal, blissful self, the soul, is the self. They think that which is impure, the body, which always has secretions here and there, is pure. They think that what is temporary, only here for a short time, is eternal. They think that which is illusory, which is not the truth about me, is the truth. Who should cry for whom, please? Tell me. This was what Maharaj had said. No, it is there in the internet available. Yes, very, very good words which awaken us. My dear devotees, get out of the shadow life where you identify with that which is only here for a few days and the reality which is constructed around this persona. Get into the real life, and that happens. Actual speech is in the beginning when you use your senses in Krishna's service. No? The hands do service for Krishna. The words speak about Krishna. Oh, I heard this in the Bhagavatam. The ears, oh, let me go to a class. Let me use this short human life, which is so precious and so valuable because it has senses with which I can, even now when I'm in illusion, when I'm covered by Maya, engage in Krishna's service. And then you will wake up. Maybe it will not be a lightning like in the book, you know, well, lightning. It will be the force of Krishna Katha that will, and Krishna life, Krishna conscious life, service with the hands, you know, all these things which are described. Those of you who like to read, perhaps one or two amongst you, you might want to take note of this. It is 10th canto, chapter 80, text 3 and 4. There you find out what you can do to come alive. This brings us to a very important takeaway from reading the Bhagavatam and trying to understand the Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, there is a verse in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Krishna had just left the planet Earth. It was a very difficult situation for Bhumi, Mother Earth, because Krishna had infused life with his lotus feet. Krishna had walked and met with many residents of planet Earth, no? And had blessed them. Although they may not have fully understood his divine personality, they were nevertheless blessed, just like us who are maybe not able to understand Dham Tattva in full. I mean, I can't understand it in full. But just by being here, staying here, we are blessed. So it was a terrible situation. Darkness began to envelop the planet, and the darkness began to move into the heart of the living entities. At that time, as Krishna was leaving the earth, he kind of looked back and he understood what will people do in this Kali Yuga to be Krishna conscious? It is, in the 12th canto, we understand places become impure, objects become impure, and also the consciousness of people becomes impure in Kali Yuga. So Krishna thought, what will they do? And at that time, Jiva Goswami says, a pratinidhi form manifested, a representative form. Do you know what is the representative form of Krishna? The Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. Wonderful. And it is described what this Bhagavatam does. It gives light again in the darkness of Kali Yuga. Those who know this shloka, let us chant it together. Dharma projita koitavatra paramo nimatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parer Ishvaraha Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Trakriti Bhi Shushru Shubhistachanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Isn't that a beautiful verse, a sentence? Should I say it again? Because it's quite... The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare or benefit of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. When you hear this, your misery is uprooted like a weed in the garden, taken out with the roots, thrown to the side. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadev in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. You don't need anything else than a set of the Bhagavatam. And if you are poor and cannot afford it, watch for Bhadra Purnima. There will be devotees who want to get scores to distribute Bhagavatam. So they give it for you to you for free, to get a point. What is the need of any other scripture? Oh, no newspaper. No. What is the need of any other scripture? Prabhupada said about newspapers, don't read these news magazines and newsletters. They make the material world appear so real. It looks so real. Yes, and now the false surety, what happens when you hear this? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. Pratinidhi form, representative form. Krishna, one Krishna gone, other Krishna, same Krishna coming in the heart. No? To speak in simple English. My dear devotees, in the beginning, when you hear regularly the Bhagavatam, you will first get other perspectives that help you. But as you enter deeper into the ocean of Bhagavatam, you will begin to see a taste, a ruchi, that makes you strong inside to say no to Maya. And if you go really deep, you will collect the jewels of love of Godhead. But you need to stay a little with the Bhagavatam. Only in this way, the mind becomes purified. Usually the mind is purified of the conditioned soul by whom? When nothing works, and the conditioned soul has made so many sins, he will go to Samyamani Pura, town of Yamaraj. And he will be corrected. And by this tremendous correction and torture which comes to those who have not learned before, they will say, okay, I get the point. Oh, no more, no more, no more. This is what those of you who have children, they know when the child is behaving impossible, then you might give some spanking on the behind and the child goes, oh. This doesn't work in the West any longer. In the West, when you spank a child, the child goes to the police and files a report. One Indian man who lived in London, he took his children with him, and the moment they went into the Delhi airport, bang, he gave the one child one spanking, bang, and the other child another spanking, and he said, traditional education. So because in the old time, where things were different like now, it was understood that when someone is making a mistake and he is corrected in a way that he remembers, oops, this was the result, he will leave the activity. So although modern legislation has turned this down, Yamaraj is still in office. And when a very sinful person, not like you, not, you know, we speak of really sinful people, then they get purified. But another purification, which is much more strong, is what Yamaraj talks about in the sixth canto. Listen to this verse, you will like it. Shrinvatam grinatam viryani udamani hare muhur yata sujataya. Sorry. Yata sujataya bhaktya sudyannatma vratadibi. This last word, natma, it means the atma. The atma is translated by Srila Prabhupada here as the heart and soul of someone. So Yamaraj says, one who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Let me unpack this verse for you, because when there are these long sentences, at least a person like me loses the point. Yamaraj is saying, You can sit in Vedic ritualistic performances and chant Swaha, but your heart and soul will not be completely purified. You can observe difficult vows, like walking barefoot around Vrindavan or eating minimally during the month of Kartik or any difficult vow. You can do this, but it will not purify the heart completely. There's one process, however. I would like to add, you can even go to Yamaraj court and get the heavy treatment. It won't purify you 100%, but there's one thing which does it. Constant hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord and hearing about his activities brings you slowly out of the bodily concept of life to a new life that helps you to perform devotional service, to come alive, in other words, like Parikshit has said, and change your life. I can hear the time factor, but allow me. Yes, that was the bell. There was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, it's coming. 8, 9. Oh, we have time. It's only 9 o'clock. No, I'm coming to the end. My dear devotees, you are hearing Bhagavatam. Are you completely purified in the heart? No. My dear devotees, you may chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very extra. Are you purifying in the heart? No, Maharaj, not much has changed. So is it all a lie? Is it wrong what we hear? One thing is said, it doesn't happen. My dear devotees, please listen now. I will step now out of the official lecture. I will become just very personal. This has been a long question for me. I had left everything and a lot of money with 16 years with the hope to become purified. And after 20 years, I made a pause and an analysis of my life. And yes, people thought he has done this, he has done that. But I could see what people could not see. I could look in a place where people had no entry because I was protecting this place very carefully so that no one would see what was going on inside. But I could no longer ignore the fact that deep inside the real person was not purified. I was sometimes envious, not sometimes, I was envious of the success of others. I maintained material desires. And I told myself, it's not working, this process. And I did, so I wanted to leave Krishna consciousness because for me it was never easy. I come from a different background. And the first devotees who came were all from hippie culture. They knew LSD. I didn't know about these things and so on. It was very difficult for me. And they didn't like my expression and so on. And I felt really strange, like a black crow amongst parrots, perhaps, you know. I did not join because of the devotees, maybe deeply inside, but I didn't know that. I was there to become purified and to become a devotee, and it was not happening. So I thought, well, it's not happening. Let me leave and try somewhere else. I feel very attracted to meditation. Let me learn meditation somewhere else or other spiritual practices. There are many spiritual teachers. But the problem was I had fallen in love. I just loved Prabhupada. I just was very convinced that here was the real thing which I was looking after. He had realized. So I needed to do a study of Prabhupada's teaching. Perhaps I thought to myself, I've missed something. So I became a mad scientist. Not like Mr. Victor, but trying in some ways to read through his books, asking elevated devotees, and writing then about my discoveries and so on. And the same thing happened with the Bhagavatam. That brought me to the holy name. Then the same thing happened with the Bhagavatam. I began to ask the question, why do I feel not so inspired when I read the Bhagavatam? Why doesn't it touch me? Do I miss out on something? And I came upon this verse which tells us how to read the Bhagavatam. If you get a violin and you don't know how to play it, it just makes noise. Only when you tune it properly, when you know how to move the, what is it called, the thing, the bow, will it make a beautiful angelic sound. So you have to know how to do it. And here is the verse. It's a verse which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted often. It's 2.8.1, I think. 4. 2.8.4, if you want to write it down. This is how it goes in Sanskrit. Shinvata Sharaya Nityam. Shinvata Sharaya Nityam. Grinatascha Svacheshtitam. Grinatascha Svacheshtitam. Kalina Nati Dirgena. Kalina Nati Dirgena. Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. The last sentence says, the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, Bhagavan, becomes manifested within one's heart. When one reads the Bhagavatam regularly, three things. Shraddhaya, it means with faith. Prabhupada says, always taking the matter very seriously. Then Shraddhaya, with some, the face was already, Nityam, regularly, you have to do it regularly. Like when you cook, you boil your water, it's not enough if just there's a burst of energy coming. There has to be regular electricity, and then it comes to the boiling point. So you have to regularly hear Bhagavatam, then you come to the boiling point. And then Svacheshtitam, you must make an effort to do this. It won't come without an effort. The Cheshta Rupa Bhakti is first, the bhakti with an effort. Then comes, hopefully soon, Bhava Rupa Bhakti, the bhava, the feeling for it. So these are three recommendations, and I don't have time now to go into a Bhagavatam reading seminar, but I want to really recommend you to read the Bhagavatam regularly, because that's the whole idea here. Bhagavatam finished with chapter 78, but it goes on because Parikshit wants to continue more. He asks, how can anyone stop who has got who is taking this seriously? No, who is disgusted with material life, really. Yeah. So this is how to do it. Write down on your mobile telephone, please, 284, yes. Then you know how to do it. What I recommend to you is, if it's difficult for you to read on your own, some of us can study better with others. There are many first-class Bhagavatam courses now available online, and the learned speakers and teachers take you through a regular teaching of the Bhagavatam. And then, my dear devotees, you come alive. The whole point is, come alive. Don't stay not alive, not fully alive, half alive. Come alive fully. Hare Krishna. You're very kind. This is the longest I have spoken for a whole month. Hare Krishna. So, Hari Bol, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be here. Any question? Good question. Relevant question. Thought over question. Oh, the hands are going down. I see one Mataji who's convinced. Yes, we have perhaps a microphone for you. If you need to go, please don't feel shy. I know many of you have services. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Please forgive me, I don't express this question properly. But you said a few things about abandonment, and then you also mentioned how the Swami said that who should we really cry for when people were coming very sad, face to him. So I'm trying to understand my duty as a brother, because you know, early days in ISKCON, we also said, you're not the body. I remember my brothers used to go to the Guru Room, and they were told that your mother is Maya and your family's Maya. And then they actually developed abandonment issues for that. So, the question is, where is the idea of duty, the disciple's duty is to go to the guru who is about to pass away with genuine sadness. It's the duty of the disciple to feel pain when the guru is about to pass. It's the duty of a mother to feel that this is my child. Not to think, this child is not mine, not this body.
How to bring the two together. Wonderful, wonderful, yes. Do I know you? You're from Leicester, no? Or?
Yes,
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good, good. I know you, yes. Yes, in the beginning, we misunderstood many things very deeply. We couldn't bring it together because we came all from the material point of view, from material life, and then we heard the spiritual so clearly explained that it fulfilled a need. Our souls were slumbering, and then we couldn't do the balance. Like, Before we were only on one side, material life. Now we were on the side of wrongly understood spiritual life. In the Bhagavatam, there is a very, very moving scene. Krishna and Balaram, after having liberated Kamsa and the wrestlers and the whole arena, had celebrated them. No, now we have to make an even more difficult journey. We have to go to Vasudev and Devaki, our parents, whom we did not see for 11 plus years, you know. Ooh, after 11 long years. So they went to Vasudev and Devaki. And Vasudev and Devaki had just seen Krishna performing his amazing pastimes before the people of Mathura. They froze. We had thought he is our son, but he's really God. We have just seen. And Krishna felt even sadder in his heart. They are not greeting us as sons. They are making a distance. So he spoke some words which I think are very, very important. He says, not even in 100 lives, one life, finished, second life, finished, third life, 100 lives, not even in 100 lives, can we properly express our gratitude towards our father and mother. Why? They have given us this human body, and they have, in the first phases, when we were so helpless, taken care of us and brought us up. So this is a depth of gratitude that is waiting on us. So just like your parents have extended themselves to make you the person which you are now, a person who is hosting kirtan events in their home. I hear you are from a fabulously rich family, but you are serving Vaishnavas, you're giving part of your wealth to many projects. You have an exalted life. And without your parents, you wouldn't even be here. So in the same way, give this attention now where I don't know your parents. Perhaps I know them, but not consciously. You need to give this opportunity to your children also. I think the thinking mistake is best clarified in the prayers of Queen Kunti. There, Prabhupada makes a point about what is not good affection given to relatives like children, spouses, and what is the proper affection given. He says, affection just given on the superficial platform is not, but affection which is given considering Krishna as the source of the life and Krishna being present, that is proper affection. I personally see this in relationship with difficult people. When you are a public person, you have also difficult people coming to you because you are so public. And I always remember when I'm with difficult people and they do difficult things or say difficult things, I try to remember this purport of the Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada says, we should have Krishna in all of our relationship, because without Krishna, we can't see the other person properly. And he gives the example, seeing without the sun is not seeing. Sun, not physical sun, light-giving sun. So when you are with your children, when you are with your spiritual master, when you are with your friends, and so on, try to always remember that they are parts of Krishna, and then the affection is wholesome. It is it's an eagle affection. You see everything, and also the things you do amongst friends. With friends, you hang out and you make Mataji jokes about the foolish men, and so on. That is normal. That has to go on. Why do I say it has to go on? This is what I'm saying, is the human side has to also be there, no? But let us remember the spiritual side also, because then otherwise we are not living really, no? We are on the wrong platform. I see in my life all the wonderful mothers, fathers, preachers perhaps, who take care of the children and who see them as part of Krishna's family, and they see them as tremendous potentials who need to grow up being watered with affection. No? Affection, most important. Yes. Also, you must say, if you read in sociology about spiritual movements, you will find out they attract a lot of dysfunctional people, because they give promises to help people, to liberate them, to take away the miseries. So I'm not convinced that the Hare Krishna movement is the only movement in this universe who does not also sometimes, maybe one amongst 40 billion people, attract a dysfunctional person. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So there's one Brahmachari Maharaj, not Maharaj, one Brahmachari, please speak. Perhaps we have a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Maharaj, you have two options, hearing Krishna Katha and chanting. So what should you do?
What should you do? You should kill one and revive the other. No, I'm joking, and you don't even laugh. I feel so out of place. Hare Krishna, joking. I am joking. My dear devotee, know that chanting, especially in Sankirtanam and also Japa, will nourish your Bhagavad hearing. And please know that the Bhagavatam, reading regularly the Bhagavatam, will nourish your chanting. When you go to read the Bhagavatam, have the Bhagavatam katha, you know who's Krishna. And when you then sit down, Hare Krishna, Krishna, oh, wow, that's the same person I read in the Bhagavatam. 1 minute. And at that time, some first class things happen in your heart. You feel, oh Krishna, you are so wonderful. Otherwise, if you chant without this connection, this sambandha, my dear devotee, you may chant without taste. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has informed that the chanting and the Bhagavatam always must go together. And he has given an analogy. Krishna never comes along alone. There's also who? Radha, yes. There's also Radha. So Krishna Katha is very important for your chanting because otherwise you won't be able to chant with sambandha, with the feeling of connection. And let's turn this around. Let's flip it around. If you only read Bhagavatam, but you're not chanting, you're not purifying the heart, and only in a purified... No, actually, this is wrong. You are purifying the heart by hearing. But the kirtan and the japa, the holy name, in this age of Kali, is the main process that brings us alive, no? Harinama, Harinama. It gives you an experience, a direct experience of Krishna. No, don't we hear this in some kirtans when we are chanting, oh, some very good Krishna conscious thoughts are coming to us. Oh, I should surrender more. I should do more service. We are feeling it directly. It's an experience, a living experience. And that comes quickest through chanting, no? Some good bhavas. So both must be there. We Westerners, and you are supposed to be an Indian. We think in the... Anyways, no need to go into this. We need to keep to many points at once. But thank you. Your question was very relevant and pleasing to the ear and the heart. I see one other devotee in the back. One, I cannot see your face, but I see your wonderful... No, not you. Him. With this... This will be the last question. Then we will put the Bhagavatam to rest. No, it never rests. But then we put Sachinanda Swami to rest. Hare Krishna.
First, thank you. You draw our attention to many areas of Bhagavatam. Really grateful to that. But in the beginning of the lecture, you cite three things. You cite the lion, the eagle, and the pigeon, right? And yeah. You say that maybe the lion is not the appropriate, that you want to look at the eagle and the pigeon.
Yes.
How was it there?
Yes. Thank you. Here's someone who listens. Wonderful. These are three perspectives, not three animals. They are three perspectives. The lion always goes straight. I mean, I was once attacked by a lion, but I was in a car and nothing happened. I tell you another time. So the lion comes straight at you. It goes very determined. It is not afraid. It just zoom. But it may not look left and right. This is the pigeon has the perspective to consider of this point. You can go almost all. And then this. And he considers all this. This perspective came when I tried to be in the Bhagavatam and see it has ended already much earlier, but it is still going on. Oh, still going on. Why is it going on? And then we came to this explanation of Parikshit Maharaj, who doesn't want the katha to end because he says that's real life. That was looking at the Bhagavatam I was not going through one chapter. I was looking around like the pigeon, no? And saw and found this. And then I was trying to go. I mean, I'm not a very intelligent person, so I'm trying to go above the immediate discussion and look at the principles of Bhagavatam. Why is it important? It's the Pratinidhi form, the representative form of Krishna, and it will work, and it will give us Krishna, whom it represents, but we need to learn to chant with effort, regularly, read the Bhagavatam. There's another method of reading the Bhagavatam, but that takes a longer time, and we are at the end of the lecture, but this was the eagle perspective, looking not really, we were no longer with the narration of the Bhagavatam, we were talking from high up, what is Bhagavatam all about, not to give us Krishna really in the heart, trying to serve Hare Krishna. So I want to thank you all very, very much, my dear devotees. Thank you for staying on. I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I kept you from your breakfast. So please take now. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna.